This is Jan Cox, talk number 1645, recorded on September 5th, 1996.
Hello, other cities. Here we are on Thursday again, stuck in Atlanta. Some of us wishing that we had left early this morning and driven up to Myrtle Beach. We'd be now enjoying the weather, the home of the shag, nonstop dancing and fun. Also, last Tuesday, I mentioned on the audio about St. Q's and people who hadn't been there. I'd like to also point out, I have not seen Ken and Hank from New York in a long time, or the Philly gang. You know, it's good. One thing about this, us doing the audio, this little private thing, is it feels like I have more time to deal in corrections, you know, errata and expansions. From last Tuesday, I was mentioning right at the tail end, trying to draw some sort of desperate metaphor, and I mentioned about instead of sending in money with your reporting your task to send in a nude photograph of Governor Wilson of California or Pataki of New York. Then I threw in Eleanor Roosevelt and made some crude comment about, you know, even her to picture a nude photograph. Some reason I made that up years ago. No offense to the woman. For those of you who don't know who it is, you could think, I guess, Rosanna Barr or somebody. And I made some comment that, a nude photograph of Eleanor Roosevelt would be enough to even calm down a teenage boy. And I'd like to correct that. Well, I really only have probably one person to go by. I won't name him. But a teenage boy that was a real teenage boy. Even a nude photograph of Eleanor Roosevelt would have gotten him aroused. You'd have gone to some effort. Back during, when she was alive, during that era when pornography and there was no such thing as even Playboy. A good teenage boy, shit. I just wanted to correct that. And another one, I've made several comments about that people do not live in a permanent state of enlightenment. Let me also point out to you that it is possible, even now, I don't mean it's just some, it is possible for people to fairly consistently live in a better state, fairly consistently. But I will point out, it almost requires that you seclude yourself from life. In other words, the classic work, school, or monastery circumstance. And it takes a good number of years. You do not simply go over there and do it, but those who have, in other words, are devoting almost 24 hours a day, it does not mean that they're not people. It's not possible to live in a fairly consistent, better state. I just wanted to correct that, too. Oh, and one other thing. I just happened to read something that was so delightful. I was going to make a news item out of it and make a great metaphor of some kind. But then I got thinking, as hip as everyone is, and I was thinking now that I can talk like this and the people out in California, the super hip. Instead of me doing it, you work on your own. This is just so good. I'm hoping you will. Don't leave it at some showbiz or some smartass. It is just pregnant with potential. Supposedly, there was this guy who had been hanging around one of the major studios. And I'm trying to, they got him hired as a writer some way. And he never could come up with much of anything. And he came up with the idea for a stage play, Car Wash, the same one that you're thinking. And supposedly he went to the head of the studio and said, I've got this idea. And he said, not really a movie, but I know you guys now, Universal, or where it was, are into financing other things. He says, I've got this idea for a stage play. And he described the plot of Car Wash. And supposedly the head of the studio went, that is the absolute worst idea for a play I've ever heard in my life. I think we should just go directly into making it a movie. I know it sounds like a joke, but I'm telling you, that's not only pregnant, that damn thing is about to deliver. But I'm going to leave it to you instead of me do it. Let you have it. Do you realize that when people, if you're trying to talk about doing anything extraordinary in life, there's only three ways, generally, to speak of it, whatever it is. You either speak of a life or your interest being based on faith. The first two are very common to religion. If you're trying to do something extraordinary, you're trying to do something, trying to be something other than you are. You've got the idea of faith, that is, that a man can actually do very little, if anything. And so all you can do is have the information, have the Word of God revealed to you, that someone say, well, God says if you will have faith in Him, then someday you will be different. Someday you will be happy, you'll be satisfied, you'll be more of a complete person, you will not be so fragmented. Everything that you dream of, you will have, and all we can do is have faith. You know, sway your allegiance to this idea. That is the most common in the world, always has been. And the other one, a little less common, is to speak of behavior, which still is almost totally, well, is largely in the bailiwick of religion. Some mystical systems try to use it also. But behavior, that light candles, pray three times a day, pray in a prescribed manner, make offerings to the gods, and then, as best you can, they speak of behavior even in life. Try not to kill people. Try not to hit people. Try not to steal other people's things. But it's speaking of behavior. The only other way that makes any sense, that offers any profit, is what all the sorts of mystical systems have always spoken of. I just picked consciousness. It's been called other things. But if you think about it for a second, which I'd like you to, or it's the kind of thing I throw it back to you and go off and I challenge you not to find out whether I'm right or wrong, but maybe it'll spur you to seeing things in a way that you would not have. That is, for me to say there's three, I could just say there are only three ways, and then you go find your own way of looking at it. But it's either to speak of just the interest. See, faith doesn't require much effort, but it's the interest. If you had a group of people, if somebody stood up on the planet somewhere on a high hill and said, is anyone out there interested? I've got this interest. I keep thinking about that we're lacking something. Is there something that we're missing? And it's really bothering me. I thought about it a long time. It's not just something passing. I am convinced there is something missing in life. And I don't mean missing in the physical sense, but there's something missing in me. Does anybody feel that way? And a lot of people raise their hand. And he goes, well, I've been thinking about it. Would you like to hear what I think? Well, let's say that most of the people had never thought about that much. And they go, well, yeah. Then what I'm presenting to you is after that, to just speak of the interest, to explore the interest, you're just about left with those three approaches. Now, to speak of consciousness, have you ever thought about this? When I speak of consciousness, it sounds like that we can speak in all, or I can, in all sorts of rambunctious, arcane, complex, inverted, reinverted ways. But what you're talking about with consciousness is really man's emotions and his thoughts. You discount faith, discount behavior, that is the body, because, so to speak, you've got no control whatsoever over your body. You can make your muscles a little better, lose weight and all that stuff. And even that is still greatly controlled by your genetics. You can only get so big based upon your genetic background. You can only, some people cannot lose weight. Some people have a certain weight. The point is the body, you have got to be back to the very simplistic level of faith and behavior to really think that there's any hope to accomplish anything with the body. Consciousness is two things. It is emotions and it is thought. I'll leave that for a moment. To accomplish anything inside of doing something like this, a person has got to have, sooner or later, you got to realize it, you have got to have at any particular time some sort of personal, unswavering aim. And it is possible I have been too lax, that I didn't do all my full duties. But then again, I can't be fired. By not pressing that, one of my hesitations has always been that if you pick out just some sort of one thing and you push it, like, well, we should all remember the face of Buddha. We should all count our breath. It is almost impossible, no matter the circumstance, no matter how well-intended, it is almost impossible for that not to become, well, it is impossible for it not to become habitual. But it becomes worse than that. It becomes a linchpin, and it begins to compensate for making effort, because no one can do it. And the only way it can become habitual is for you to become, in a sense, less conscious, because everyone will keep talking about it. It becomes like their secret little password that, well, yes, we all remember the face of Buddha. It's like a secret handshake, or we count each and every breath, and not a damn person in there can do it, no matter what group it is, no matter what band of people it was. And so just having something that is professed to be their aim, it can get dangerous. It can get beyond the point of uselessness. But here we go. I'm trying to move it up the Tower of Babel to another level. You have got to. And so I was going to try and start pressing on people a little bit. But you should realize you have got to have some sort of permanent aim. It can change, but you have got to have at any given moment some kind of aim that you're determined to do until further notice. And so to give me something to talk about tonight, I would suggest one of the best in the world is I will not complain. That you just decide, I will not complain. When I get to where I can, when I've succeeded at that, then I'll find another one. But I will not complain. Well, once I go back up with something like this, even if you haven't done it yourself, you realize the absolute blunt, unassailable simplicity and the reality of it, that I can stand around, me or someone else, and talk about this kind of thing forever, or you can sit around and dream about it forever. But you've got to be doing something, or it's simply a hobby, which is all right. It's past the point that I can beat up on people, I can tell people never to come back. But if you don't know by now that it should amount to something, then I don't know. Then you owe me for all the money you would have spent on bowling or something else, and if it's just been a hobby. But for every amount to anything, at any given moment, like every day, you should have some aim. So let's take, I will not complain, which is, you know, I could have said the big one and say, well, I will be conscious of my existence right here. I will continually in my mind think I am here. Because a man finds out I can do that and still operate. It does not interfere with my life whatsoever, and it certainly does not interfere with what I laughingly generally refer to as my intellectual life. Which, of course, gives some people a new idea. You mean I can say something, I can take half of my brain, part of my attention, and direct it somewhere else that has nothing to do with what I'm apparently up to at the moment, and it doesn't make any difference? I don't know. Try it and see. But let's take that I will not complain. It has to be an absolute. For you people on audio, I just made a good hand gesture. It was like holding out my palm like in futile, ah! I just wanted you to get the full benefit. Well, I'm just another place that I can put it in simple words, but if you don't know it, the words didn't mean anything. Oh, they mean something. That makes sense when you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. You have got to have some sort of aim. Constantly. You, until further notice, you can't do anything unless you have some aim every day. And it could be something simple. I am going to quit drinking coffee. I seen him bring up shit like that. That doesn't amount to anything. But you need to be doing something. I will not be angry, but let's say complain. When I consider this, without any doubt, the emotions are stronger than thought. Your emotions do not come up with a name. If we pick out a name, I will quit. I will not complain. You surely see this does not come from the body. If I have to throw that back in, and I guess I should, because from the body is actually where emotions arise themselves, from the survival instincts. But then what we call emotions compared to animal temperaments or animal emotions, is what we call emotions and attribute to man, are the survival instincts mixed with thought. That's what emotions are, from one view. But emotions are stronger than thought. From one view, in fact, emotions fuel thought. They almost entirely control thought. That's open to your investigation again. I touched on that last night very crudely. The mind can certainly sit down and do crossword puzzles. The mind can certainly sit down and undertake an intellectual challenge to figure out some puzzle, something you're doing at work, a way to get a gazebo to stand up that was falling over without having to call a contractor. Something that you can sit there mentally, and there seems to be no particular passion. But look at what goes on in your consciousness, notwithstanding some specific task that requires that you focus your attention. And notice, the exceptions I'm making are almost entirely, and I say this again, I leave it to you, you find your own exception or find your way to look at it. It's always based upon some kind of external requirement. It's about the only time that a man will focus his attention to the best of his general ability. It almost requires that there is some external pressing need, something he must do at his job, something he must do to rectify something that he has already mucked up. In other words, if you just sit there by yourself, I put it to you rhetorically, does the mind ever come up? Just ordinarily, does the mind come up with like, what I would like is some real focused, strenuous exercise. I brought crossword puzzles such as that and chess and those kinds of games. I would also suggest is a feeble attempt, and those and people who enjoy it, it's a feeble attempt by the mind to say, why don't we try something like that? But at least it's not enough to hurt you. Other than that, when we speak of emotions, just your general, take the kind of monologues going on in the mind all the time. If they are not of a purely perfunctory nature, if you just sing the line of a song or counting things, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, if it is a real conversation going on, it is going to be fueled by some emotional event, some event that at the time caused you to feel, caused you some passion. I'm just going to leave it to you crudely. It doesn't sound like it could be absolutely correct, but I'm telling you the emotions almost totally run and control thought. And that'd be the end of it, except for this. Except for several things. Emotions are much stronger. There's no comparison between them and thought. Now, obviously much quicker. But there's several things about it. Emotions control thought, but we can control thought. A man cannot decide at the moment how he's going to feel. You suddenly feel a certain way, and you can't decide. You can't suddenly affect it, or you can't decide beforehand, not in any meaningful way, that starting tomorrow, I will be a jovial person. Anyone's welcome to try it. It is a laughingly futile task. But you can decide that starting tomorrow, starting right now, I am going to try and catch all of my thoughts that are non-jovial. Or I am going to try and be jovial, and even if I know I can't, I'm going to remember that I wanted to. And you can, compared to making yourself jovial, you can have great success, comfortably speaking, in the approach of, I will remember that I decided to be jovial. In other words, you can have some control over the mind, but as far as directly, only a person with no knowledge of anything would claim that they have direct control over their emotions. Once you see that emotions are simply an offshoot of survival instincts, not that that's all they are now, but that's where they came from, you can see that there is no need for you to have control over emotions. There's certainly no need for man to have control over survival instincts intellectually. Now, if you reach the point of being civilized to a certain area, the mind does not interfere. And by the same token, the mind does suppress them enough that you do not engage in antisocial behavior. But there is no need. It would not be of any profit for the survival instincts to have to be run through some analytic process. It could prove to be most dangerous. And so once you get an idea, I assume it's not that hard whether you ever thought about it or not, but if you're going to look for where emotions come from, if you just take that kind of approach of looking around at life, kind of fables and things I've brought up for years, but if you just kind of look around at life and go, well, just for instance, no other creature has anything resembling human emotions. So what's going on here? Kind of take the ramble method, just run through everything, and what's going on? Why do we have it? Where did we get it? Is there anywhere it comes from that makes any sense? Why does so much of human emotion seem to be painful, seem to be to people's detriment? People curse their emotions. So if all that's true, then what the hell are they doing here? Why do we need them? What purpose are they serving? Animals don't have emotions like humans do, and they get along quite fine, so blah, 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 blah. Once you see, because it's easy once you see it, if you look off, if you're dense, if you're just of ordinary intelligence, you'll look so far off you will lose the connection. But all emotions, and I won't even pick out any particular ones, but all emotions you can see arose from survival instincts, the same kind of survival instincts that are easy to observe or they're taken to be obvious in the animal world that you've got to have. That's the whole definition of sentient creature, is one that's moving around and reacting to the environment. And it's, of course, always, you can look at the most basic level, it's always the body is reacting to everything. That's why I wasn't even taking the body into account. The body is just, we're in it. That's your own domain. But within that, after you said the body, you haven't said much. I didn't tell you anything. And after that, it's when you get into the area of the reaction to the environment. And that's all human emotions. It's not all they are, but that's where they grew from. And they're mixed with thought. You cannot control them. You should not be able to at the basic instinctive level, at the level of survival. Then when they get into the area of human emotions, they are still, based upon their heritage, they are still too strong and too fast, as they should be. For the intellect, as witnessed by the good old thing, if you're mad, people can't talk you out of being mad. You can't talk, well, most people can't talk themselves out. But the point being, you understand, if you're suddenly real mad, everybody knows this, they just never think about it. But if you're really mad, you are now a mad person. Somebody can walk up behind you, your best friend, go, listen, hey, stop it. This guy's going to whip our ass over there or something, or whatever it is. And you can, they even say, don't you realize what you're doing? You're about to get us in trouble. And you might go, yeah, yeah, for a second. And you simply cannot stop it. It's that kind of behavior that people continually say, I don't know why I did it. But they had no choice at the time. The fact is, when you're emotional up to a point that it's discernible, the mind is, under ordinary conditions, is a very little help in stopping the emotions. And quite ordinary people, they do not have to be involved with such as this. They will sit around and try to talk themselves out. They'll be sad. And I don't mean just that that's their general mood, but something happens. Somebody disappoints them. And they sit around, well, you know, I can't keep doing this. You know, your husband left. You go, well, and you keep saying, well, I got to stop this. I got to straighten out my life. It's the kind of things that they do the voiceover, supposed to be the mind talking themselves on soap operas or in movies. You know, a woman looks out the window, and it's raining, and you hear her voice while she's looking pensively out like, I've got my whole life. I've got little Betty and Bobby to look after. Sure, he broke my heart after I gave him the best years of, you know, whatever it is. And they're trying to. And the only reason they keep doing that, the only reason that seems to be dramatic, is because it doesn't work. If it worked, there would be no drama to it. Somebody would have done it one time in a movie, and you'd never see it again. And everybody that saw the movie would go, not only did I get entertained, I got informed. All you got to do is tell yourself, hey, you got a life to lead, snap out of it. And people would have left praising Hollywood. As always, the only reason that anything survives is it does not work. That's the only reason that, you know, civilization, all of its aspects, I keep pointing out, they cannot work. If they actually worked and met the end that they proclaim, they extinct themselves. The mind cannot at the time, or you, if you want to look at it that way, but the mind specifically cannot at the time overcome emotion. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible, but you know under ordinary conditions, and you know that ordinary people, and they know it, that, nah, man, I'm so mad now. No, don't try to reason me. Don't tell me what a good woman she was. Don't tell me that he was my best friend. Not act what he, nah, get away from me. And everybody knows it, that you get in a certain intensity of passion, and there is no talking to people, which is to say there is no minding. There is no intellecting with them. There is no thinking with them. They know it. People know it. Nah, man, nah, leave me alone. Get away, nah. Nah, I'm not going to, don't talk to me about that shit. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what. But, as I said, if that was the end of it, by the way, nothing would be possible. This sort of thing would never be possible. Because you would end up pining your life away, complaining your life away. But here's the several things. One is the mind can plan. You can decide. You can't decide how you're going to feel, but you can decide to some degree. And the more you do it, the better you become at it. Such as you decide, I will not complain. Complaining is an emotion. Now, I can make everybody here stand up and swear that you will, starting tomorrow, you will not complain. And you know damn well that you will. That is, you know damn well you cannot stop it immediately. Only a fool would say, well, I'll stop it and believe it. So you can't stop it immediately. But you can damn sure do one thing. You can decide mentally, I will not do that. I guess the ordinary people, they wouldn't see any distinction, or it'd be silly, or I don't know what. But I'm going to tell you, without that sort of approach, nothing is possible. Because anything you're attempting to change, even ordinary people, is springing from emotion. That is from survival instinct, and it gets to be emotion, or they wouldn't, even if it's crude and simple, like somebody decides to stop drinking. Somebody's been a heavy drinker. You know damn well. It's not making fun of them. But an ordinary man, if he's been drinking all of his life, he does not at one time sit down in some moment of enlightenment go, I'm going to quit drinking. It takes something from the survival level, that is, that he begins to spit up blood and his liver is about to explode, and the doctor tells him you're going to die, and assuming that he still has enough survival instinct left, that they turn into his emotions like, are you serious? And the doctor says, yes, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, you'll be dead before the year's out if you drink anymore. And the man goes, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Then he can stop drinking. The only benefit, I'm just showing that at the very crude level. People do not take into account the fact that things they cannot do emotionally immediately, such as I will not complain. You can have an effect on it eventually if you decide not to do this thing that you cannot do, which is to say you have an unassailable aim, an unswavering aim. I am not going to complain. Now, one more time, I got to point out one reason I haven't done a whole lot of this. I hate to pick one out. And the word I can say I hate to pick one out for you. The words I and you are irrelevant. I know what it is. I know that people want it. As I said, I'll admit, I searched for somebody. I never could find anybody, so I had to do it. For somebody to tell me, God damn it, tell me what to do. I'm sold on wanting to do this. I want to be awake. I want to be enlightened. Tell me what to do. I could not find anybody. And I would have been delighted if I'd met somebody and they'd talked to me for a little while and in some way impressed me. And they went, all right, it's going to take a while, but here's what you do. I want you to go out and never complain. That's going to take a while. When you get that down, you come back and see me. But that is your particular task. I have talked to you now for several hours. I can see what you are. I know exactly what is right for you. This is your, and don't you tell anybody, but this is your one task, and then you come back and see me. I'll still be here, and you come back and see me when you can accomplish this. Do not complain. If I could have met somebody that had the right effect, that I would have accepted, I would have cut off my arm. But still, I remember is irrelevant to what I'm trying to get you to see. I now understand enough, or I do understand enough, I don't mean just recently, that God, that pales in comparison, because all you can do is pick up pseudo-emotion. All you can do is pick up the passion from somebody else and that's very problematic. That is, if I said, all right, I want everybody in here, it's your task, I don't want you to never complain. And I'm serious. All right? If you did not take it seriously, if it didn't strike passion in you, it ranges from being very questionable, problematic, whether it's going to do any good, all the way from that to wasteful, which I'm not going to try to explain. If it did not strike you that as soon as I said it, whatever it was, but let's say not complain, if it did not make you almost want to jump out of your seat and you go, God damn, that's what I've been looking for. That's it. It struck you personally. If it did not do that, it's why I don't do it. And I know that people, for a long time, most people, many people interested in this, for all their life, I understand it, keep looking for somebody to tell them. If they can find somebody that they seem to have faith in or they seem to connect to, as they call it in California and Oregon and other hippie areas. But they will continue to say, well, you know, give me a hint. And they take it to heart. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're dealing with somebody that knows what they're doing. But it pales. It is pitiful compared to you being able to come up with your own. And maybe eventually you come up with your own of not, I will not complain. But you, if you come up with it, and really, it's quite fine. There's no problem that if a year from now it strikes you that suddenly, I just make it quick, you just suddenly begin to hear you complain all the time. And you thought, well, I knew that. And then you realize, I didn't know that worth a damn. And suddenly you hear, and suddenly you hear the tone of your voice, even when you're not saying words that complain, your voice is going, then you look around and you hear the whole world's complaining. And it suddenly, then, you got some passion. You know, you hear where I'm going. You suddenly think, I'll die. If I can't stop complaining, fuck being awake and enlightened. If I can't quit complaining, I'm gonna go get in a cave. I shouldn't have to say much more. That you suddenly have a passion yourself that I cannot stand this. You know, I put the idea of being enlightened, you know, that's got to go on hold. That sounds fine, but first I got to quit complaining. Now that is a personal, unswavering aim. It still does not mean, I don't mean that suddenly just because you have your own personal aim for a while, that, wow, now I got some passion, I can do it. Not hardly. But it is an unswavering aim in that you now have a mental, you have something to think about that now has passion that was not a mechanical connection, that your thoughts now, whatever thoughts you have or whatever passions you have, are dictated by life. We might as well face the truth. You people, you were born with them. I've done everything but say that up until now. What you think and what you feel, you're born with it. But when you come up with that kind of aim on your own, that you are suddenly, you all got it, everybody here, that it just, you suddenly think, I've got to quit complaining. I'll worry about becoming enlightened some other day. But this has got to stop. When you've got that kind of passion, then, as what I said, is the one hope, so that the subject is not closed, that although the emotions are stronger, they cannot plan. I mean, you just have to face it. You're a fool to say, well, I'm going to stop complaining and believe that you're going to stop complaining sometime soon. Of course, most people, they decide to do something, some kind of seminar or something. The man says, well, raise your hands. Everybody will do it. And they raise their hands. And he says, now, you serious? You're going to start doing it tomorrow? And they go, hell yeah. It's idiocy. You're not. But the thing is, although emotions run the mind and they're stronger, all right, almost totally run the mind, thoughts, and are stronger, the mind has an ability that thoughts do not have. Well, it has several. One is it can plan. You can plan. You can decide, I will not complain again. And of course, 2 seconds later, somebody can come in while you're sitting there writing this down like you're going, you know, you're meditating, and somebody runs the house, you go, God damn it, stop it. It's not silly. It's not sarcastic. It's a fact. You got to honestly face it. And you got to see that that is the nature of emotion compared to thought. But another aspect, another benefit, a characteristic that thought has that emotions do not, that ties to it now, is that thought can be more permanent and stable. You can decide, I will not complain. That's a mental decision. Your emotions didn't say that. The things that make you complain, the emotions, which I'm playing with words now because nothing makes you complain. Being alive makes you complain. But complaints are emotions, expressions of emotions. They are stronger. We've already established that. It's obvious. But they cannot plan. So you can decide, I will not complain. Hey, would you hold it down in there? I'm working on something. I'm meditating, for God's sake. All right. All right, I will not come. Well, you hear it. All right. We all know. It's obvious. It gets a laugh, but think about it. Were it not for the fact, that even though it apparently, just my little scenario just then, within 10 seconds, I was asking, knock it down. You know I'm in here trying to meditate and do shit. Stop it. It seems like you just go back and forth, that you're making an idiot of yourself, and then you're trying to come back to it. You're hollering, I'm trying to be more conscious. Well, I would be if you'd shut up in there. It is not simply silly. Were it not for the ability to bounce back, to periodically jump from one foot to the other, nothing would be possible. Because there's no such thing as starting out and hearing about the idea of being more conscious or enlightening, go, well, hey, I like that. And you suddenly stand up and jump a few feet, and there you are. No. Were it not for the ability of the mind to be, it can plan, and it thought can be more stable, more predictable, and more permanent. In one sense, I guess I better point out permanent to it, you'll see it. Thought can be more permanent. Complaining, let's say any emotion, but all emotions, look at them, they just come and go. Now, sure, those of you that are smart, you only got a handful, and it's the same ones that keep coming and going. But the point is, you're mad for a second, just a little irritated, like, shut up in there, goddamn! I said, where was I? And it's like it's gone. Until whatever happens out there again, you went, that's the last time I'm going to tell you, turn that damn radio down. All right, let's see, I was trying to not complain. Were it not for the ability to do that, there would be no way to combat the mechanical emotions, in other words, the entire mechanical nature of what runs man, there'd be no way to combat it. It would all be a dream. The best you'd have would be an idea that we could all be less hostile, we could be more conscious, we could be more aware of our environment. And everybody'd hear it and go, God, that sounds neat. And it was not at all possible. That would be how things would be if we could still be conscious and not have the mind. Nothing would be possible. That is no change. There would not even be the possibility of the smallest amount of change. If you cannot plan, because if you cannot plan, then everything is going to naturally run. And you'll just be what you were born as. Everybody will be. If there's not something along the way to interfere with it, of course you get into the more simple levels of humanity, such as religion, and they go, well, the only thing that saves us is a possible interdiction, the grace of God, that if we, you know, point out to him, if we admit to him, yeah, you got us, big guy. Life's a big old torrent. It's just a raging river, and I can't stand up. What the hell you want from me? I admit it. And, of course, the clever part of life to help keep man sort of satisfied is then you have churches go, well, hey, that was it. That's all you had to do was admit that. Of course, then maybe the first time you're there, you go, oh, you mean by admitting that, then I got some control. Oh, no. No, you don't understand. You're a novice at this. No, what we mean is that now that you admit it, that you got no control and everything's just out of your hands, then you can quit worrying about it. I can? Well, I said you could, son. Okay. And of course, the people end up in this, they wander out and they go, God, what? That's a bigger crock than life itself. The mind, you can have thoughts that are more permanent than emotions. Again, I repeat, notwithstanding the fact that you have emotions keep coming back. But notice, a man does not stay in some emotional state. You do not complain all the time. And you can complain about one thing, like the little scene I just made up. You can holler, you kids, shut up now, I'm trying to meditate. All right, let's see, I was right. I said, shut up! It just comes and goes. But compared to that, a man can adopt an aim. And it has to start off mentally. It has to start off in thought. That is, I will not complain. You have to have the words of some aim or you won't do it. Even as simple as, I will stop drinking. A man cannot attempt to change anything if he cannot put it into words. The decision. My aim is, I will not complain. That is my aim. Everything else is secondary. I will not complain. That can become permanent compared to complaining. Thought can be made more permanent. A decision is more permanent, more stable, more reliable, more predictable than any emotion. Now notice we're still faced with, back to the beginning, emotions are stronger and faster than any thought. So they got us there. And only an idiot argues with that. And when you're looking at a foe, you got to see what his ability and strength is and face up to it. Emotions are stronger and faster than thought. But then thought can do things emotion cannot. It can plan, it can make a decision, and it can hold to the decision and comparable to the flow and ebb of emotions. Compared to that, it can be seen, it can be more permanent and stable. You have to have the aim, and if the aim is yours personally, it has passion in it, such as I made up, and you realize that if you on your own came up with the aim that I will not complain, that you suddenly see your whole life, you hear your whole life, it just strikes you, as I said, I hate to even put in words, but it just makes you sick, or whatever you look at it. It is unworthy. It is like, if I do not stop that, I hope I die. If I can't stop this, just screw everything else. Forget being enlightened. If I can't do this, to hell with everything. It's like I drop everything in my internal struggle except this one aim. I will not, and it could be that if it wasn't that, it's that I will continually, no matter what the hell else is, I'll let it go for the time being. But no matter what else is going on inside of my mind, I am going to simply think, I am here. The words, I am here, the same as the words, I will not complain. It's got to be put in words to start with, or you've got no mental basis for it. You've got nothing to combat the flow of survival instincts. Knee, after marriage to civilizations, human emotions. They come and go, and you've got no control. If you do not formulate some aim, I will remember, no matter what's going on, I am here, or I will not complain. Whatever it is, you have got nothing to combat the natural flow. You have got none to combat the flow of life through you. There is something else you could do with the... something I might add. Let us say that you took the one, I will not complain. For a long time, God knows how long, apparently you can't really affect it much. But you keep remembering it. And then you catch yourself. At least if you got a name, you catch yourself. There you are, and you caught yourself perhaps in the middle of it. Let us say for a while, you only think about it later in the day. I hadn't even thought about my aim. And then maybe you catch yourself months later, years later, you get to where you can get through with a big complaint, and very often within seconds after you get through with it, with your final whining down of many times it gets to where you go, oh my God. Then, let us say, sometime after that, you get good enough that sometimes you begin to catch it in the middle. That's the way it happens. Because it is more stable, it is more permanent, and the more you use it. But I was going to say, if you took something like that, and this works with anything, any aim you picked out first, you might find one that seemed to be more reflective of you, your kind of general mood, as I was saying, of what you are. It could be that you are too fearful, that you're always expressing fears, whatever it is. But here it is. It keeps happening, and all you can do is hold on to the aim. And if the aim was yours personally to start with, that is, it had passion. That is, that you suddenly heard you whine or complain, and you knew you've done it all your life, but it suddenly hit you in an absolutely new, fresh, passionate, for the first time passionate way, that goddamn, I've got, this is going to stop. This is going to stop, or I'm going to pull my tongue out. I'm going to give myself a reasonable length of time. You hear that, tongue? And one way or another, I'm going to shut up. All right, that or whatever it is. And then you find, as we all know, or I'm pointing it out to you, you cannot suddenly stop it by any means. But you can hold to that aim. But when you catch yourself, what I was going to say is, have a rule to go along with this. The rule is when you catch yourself, and you are going to catch yourself because it will not immediately stop. So you decide on your own passionate personal aim becomes, I will not complain. And then every time when you find yourself complaining, you catch it. Here is a rule to make during all this attempted aim. It's when you catch yourself, do not talk about it. Not comment one. Do you understand? I'm talking about internally. Do not talk about it. You simply call it. All you should feel is the passion that made you do it to begin with, which let's say is extreme disgust. Like, yeah! I don't consider that talk. That's simply an audible expression of recognition. Yeah! But do not talk. That is, do not to yourself. Do not offer, do not listen. Because you know this will happen. This is natural. Any attempted explanation of what just happened? None. Don't talk. Do not allow that there you are going, rah, 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 and you catch yourself. And you're aware of all the dynamics. Here it is. I keep trying to do this. And here I'm complaining again. And your mind will immediately, if you don't do something, your thoughts will immediately begin to comment on the circumstance, like why you were complaining, or, and I don't mean just shifting blame, that's easy. But let's say you get a little past that, your mind will still say something like, well, I wonder if it's because you didn't get enough sleep last night. No comment. You simply catch yourself doing it and refuse. That's a rule inside the aim. I will not talk about it. Not comment one. Just stop it. Don't listen to it. I'm not going to say anything about what that does or what it's based upon. Since that we're talking, I feel less a need, which may have been a spurious need I perceived with the videotapings of even within the hour, that whether it always comes out or not, I sort of try to wrap things up and keep things in some sort of, believe it or not, some sort of sequential presentation. That taking that which is irrational to start with, I almost try to wrap it up in some sort of rational way within itself, so that it sounds like the why I'm talking about, if it makes any sense, it makes sense within its own boundaries. Sitting here with you, I don't particularly feel that need. So that was a preface. I was about to tell you something else that you might try, which may sound like the opposite from what we're talking about. But if it sounds that way to you, could I say, just between us personally, since we're on audio tape, try this, those of you who want to. Because I never have told anybody about this one. And it sounds almost the opposite from one view of what I'm talking about. That's why I decided to do it now, to make things interesting. It's to take, I'll assume by now that you should, that everyone, especially over the last few years since I've been dwelling more on that area of thought and the mind, that by now all of you should have a certain amount of discomfort, disgust, irritation, of just the general thoughts running through your mind. Not the particular thoughts, but the whole process is just out of control. It means nothing. It has never profited me. God, I wish I could do something with it. I know what I should be doing is trying to be conscious right this second, and it stops it. But Jesus, God, I sit here and that shit goes on, and you're back at it. And it's like, what can I do? Is there some trick? Well, there's a bunch of... I'm going to give this one to you. Take the thoughts. You know, the whole mental process going on, running through your head. That's where you feel it. That's where the brain is firing. Take the thoughts from there and pull them down into the emotional region, which is down in the chest area compared to the brain. Just don't try to interfere with them. Don't try to Of course, you should be past trying to argue with your thoughts. You do not negotiate with thoughts. I slipped it into you the other night that you do not negotiate with problems. You do not negotiate with thoughts. That's back to the many examples I've tried to make silly enough about sitting on your porch and watching all the traffic go by and deciding there are just certain brands of cars, certain colors that you don't like. That's ordinary people. If you've got any potential to be a mystic, if you've got any potential to ever wake up, you got to be sick of traffic. Not a prejudice bone in your body. I'm not sick of one car more than another. I despise them all. To hell with all of them. There's not one idea. There's not one opinion. There's not one philosophy in life. There's not one religious model. There's not one personal characteristic that people have that I dislike more than another. It's not possible. I could not dislike one of them more than I dislike the whole amount of them. But not out there, you understand. It's not the things out there. It's my thoughts about it. It's my internal reaction. So, the thoughts are up there, and rather deal with any of them. No comment with them. It's just, imagine. Picture in your head, let's try it this way, and all your thoughts are going up there in that where the brain is. But now picture not just physically, it's a non-physical activity, your mind. Take the whole lot of what's going on. Try not to disturb it. Don't let them know that you're about to do anything. Because you're not. You're not about to, you know, pick on any of them, go like, hey, and point to one of them and say, why don't you leave me alone? No, I just take whatever's going on and try physically. I mean this. Try imagine that you're just dropping it, pulling it down. It takes a little effort. But gravity helps some, but you've got to notice it to try. And you pull it down from the head. And I don't mean drag it out. You go, zzz, and imagine you have pulled it down right through the face area and down to the neck. And at least down around, you know, the chest area, the heart, where people's always figured to believe the emotions and everything. But pull it down in that general, get it out of the head. Bring the thoughts down. Don't tamper with them. You know, don't just do it in a smooth manner so they're not even jogged around knowing anything's happening. I mean, they're busy. Just bring it down into the emotional region. Just bring it down there. That's the end of the method. If you're waiting for me to tell you what to do after that, just bring them down there. I said pull them down. I also consider, by the way, you take your choice, because I know when you hear something described, you take the word seriously, since I'm the one who either invented, discovered, or made that up. So at one time when I thought about it, when I decided I'd tell you, I was going to call it push them down into the emotional region. So I give you your choice. I was sort of leaving this at the hour-long, even on audios, when I was hesitating. I was going to say something else to expand this. But I'll leave it till next time. It's about being honest with yourself, but you got to learn how to, and it's tied to what I was talking about tonight. So assuming that you have some ability for continuity in your thought, then if we have one Saturday or next Tuesday, you can hold it to then, right? Huh? Don't I do a great imitation either of humanity or of me? Scoring at any given second, who is the biggest piece of hot shit? I mean, the stupidest. I want to give you another task, and then I want everybody out in the other cities, mail it to me. The others I've given. But this one was, I want you to try and pull or push thoughts down into the emotional region all day tomorrow. And I want you to, again, we're just counting, is write down how many times you can remember to do that. And if you have extra paper and you feel the need on that task, since it was the last one in this series, I want you to mail them to me. Mail them to the Stone Mountain Post Office. If you have any comment on this last one, feel free to include it. We'll stop. Plus, I got to go to the bathroom. They made me drink coffee. They made me drink coffee tonight. They got me back in habits. I wish you people out in the other cities, I sure would like to see a bunch of you if you could get down here for St. Q's. Plus, I may have mentioned it in passing, but I'm threatening to make everybody go down to Panama City and take over this bar, and we go down on Friday night and get up on Saturday morning, and everyone who is so inclined, go out and do all your exercises and your running, do all the things for good health. Those of you who don't, too, have coffee and juice. And we'll meet over at that little outside, it's this bar that has a deck with a bandstand. And by then, they'll be desperate for any business after Labor Day and for us to show up. And by, I'd say, 11 o'clock, our band start up and we start having real breakfast. Beer and waves and be shit-faced. Be shit-faced and in the cars and back on the way to Atlanta. 2 o'clock. Back home in time to watch Lawrence Welk and go to bed.
That concludes this talk. Be sure to visit us at jancox.com, where you can search through 3,000 talks for topics of interest, or just leave us a message.